I come to the garden alone, Lord, while the dew is still on the roses, the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share, Lord, we tell with them, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of all. His voice to me is calm. Oh, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells
God, for he is worthy of all the honor, all of the glory, and all of the praise. And if I got a witness in there this morning, just give him a little praise right now. I don't care how you praise him, but isn't God worthy? I said, isn't God worthy of all of the honor, of all of the glory, and all of the praise? And let me ask you something. Don't we serve a good God? I said, don't we serve a good God? And now I'm talking to the older ones. Now, don't we understand what the old folks meant when they said, who wouldn't serve a God like that? One who walks with us, one who talks with us, and one who tells us that we are his own. If you understand what I'm saying, put those hands together and give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. John. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus today, and I'm thankful to God for what we've already experienced in this place. The Lord has been in this place today, and I'm thankful. Jacob say he was here and I knew it not, but I think I'm talking to some folk who say he's here and I know he's here. Yeah, the Lord is here. The Lord is here, and I'm thankful for his presence. Next week is a big week in the life of Rochester. Amen. And really in the religious life of Rochester, next week is a big week. It's a big week, one, because Harvest Week is here. And yes, all of the ministers that you see slated on the flyers, all of them have confirmed. And unless there is a bad weather day or something that we pray against now, all of our speakers will be here this week. Amen. All of our speakers will be here. But you know, it's really not who's going to be here. It's, are you going to be here? And the Holy Spirit is going to be in this place. Amen. So we're thankful to God for Harvest Week that will be here. But on the hill at Colgate, Rochester Crozier Divinity School, it's lecture week. Dr. McMichael is here, and Sister Peggy McMichael is here. And I dare not announce that on the hill, it's lecture week. And there will be great lectures. Some of you receive information via email or in the mail about what's going on the hill. And if you're not at if you're not at Mount Olivet this week, there's only one other place that you are permitted to go. Amen. And that's up on the hill. Amen. Amen. Go here, come here, or go to the hill. And either place you go, you will be blessed. Amen. And when you tell folk about what's happening here this week, be sure to tell them that it's lecture season. It is lecture season. Am I right? It's lecture season. Am I right, Dr. McMichael? Lecture week. It's lecture week. Amen. It's Harvest Week. Somebody say Harvest Week. And it's lecture week. Now, next week, after all of this is done, we ought to just be a better people because of Harvest Week and Lecture Week. Amen? We ought to be a better people. I'm excited about preaching today. Outdoor disclaimer, probably no points today. It was so much about reaping the harvest to be, it's so much about it until I didn't do the regular points and all that kind of stuff. I just got a word today, and it may be, and I know I got a lot of scholars in here. The president of the Divinity School is here. Former trustees are here. So those of you who grade on the scale, you may have to grade me on the curve, because this one is not homiletically correct. It doesn't have all of that ingredients in it, but I promise you the word of God is in this one.
Amen. The word is here.
Great prayers today. I'm just moved by all that has taken place. Amen. Psalms 107 verse 37. And you can remain seated. It's our theme scripture. And I certainly want to thank Sister Catherine Shields for honoring us with the beautiful banners. It says, and sow the fields and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. We really came together, sow the fields, plant the vineyards, which may yield the fruits of increase. We really came up with this theme together in our last leadership conference, which was September 10th. Different members, and it's reaping the harvest God promised. And that's my subject, ushers, and thank you so much. Reaping the harvest God promised. Now, if you notice, and different ones have tried to continue the tag that says, wait, the song says, I'm reaping the harvest that God promised. And I'm taking back what the devil took from me, stole from me. You know, reaping the harvest God promised. Take back what the devil stole. Well, our theme is reaping the harvest that God promised. Anything that the devil has had his stinking, filthy, nasty, conniving, lying, backbiting hands on, I don't want no parts of it. So if the devil took something from you, you let the devil have it. Because we don't want anything that he has had his hands on. So we're reaping the harvest that God promised. Now let me ask you something. When God has promised, and I hope this message will show us some of the things that God has promised us, but when God has promised us, made promises to us, what else do we need? Well, I tell you what we don't need. We don't need anything that the devil had his hands on. Reaping the harvest. There are laws governing man and his makeup. In the Bible, laws concerning the spiritual development of man. The Bible is full of laws that concerns maturity, like loving your neighbor and doing good to those who despitefully misuse you. Bible is full of laws like blessing them that curse you and praying for them, loving them that hate you, praying for them who despitefully misuse you, forgiving your brother 7 times, 70 times, even if he sins over and over and over. There are just laws about forgiveness, laws about turning the other cheek, you know. But there are no laws in the Bible more important or more significant to us than the principles that govern the harvest we reap. When I was a little boy growing up in church, I remember having one of the most confusing times of my life because we had an annual day in our church called Harvest Day. I'm the only one from the South in here that had Harvest Day. Hey, thank you, Blue. But we grew up in the church and we celebrated Harvest Day. Well, by me being a little boy, I always thought they were saying Harvey's. day. And I noticed that when they celebrated the pastor's day, the pastor got gifts. The pastor's wives got gifts. You know, when they celebrated men's day, the men would look like these men on the front row. They would have on black suits. They would have on matching ties. And they would always talk about the men and what needed to happen for the men. The same thing would happen with the women. They would always have on those corsages. It was women's day. But at harvest day, they never said anything to my family. And I always was concerned about that until one day I picked up the program and discovered that it was not Harvey's Day, it was Harvest Day. It was usually the first, second, third, or fourth Sunday in October. And Harvest Day, in my tradition, had multiple purposes. Church members and friends would gather their friends and bring friends and family members to church, and they brought canned goods and non-perishable items all of the harvest, during the harvest season, and they would fill the altar with non-perishable food items. They would be placed at the item at the altar. One of the purposes was to gather food for, to give to the needy. One of the purposes of the harvest day would be to gather food for the needy. One of the purposes for the harvest day was to show just samples of God's blessings, that God can still take a turnip seed and in the ground, God can still make that seed become a stalk of vegetables that would bring nourishment to our bodies. That God could take, a corn seed, and from that you would get a corn stalk. And from that you would get, I'm going way back, roasting ears. Y'all ought to say amen. And another purpose was to show what God could do with the hands of man. Because these were vegetables that were allegedly from gardens that God had used to grow from the hands of man. One of his purposes was to rejoice for the provision of food by God. I'll talk about that in a minute, but food, people don't bless their food like they used to because it seems like it's so plenteous. But the truth of the matter is, it's not as plenteous as it seems. It's just plenteous for us. And one of the purposes was to just give thanks. In everything, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, we have not always lived in the times when food was seemingly as plenteous for us as it is even now. Do you know that in 2015, there were 43.1 million people in poverty who did not have access to the food, the fresh vegetables, milk, and even good clean running water like we have. In 2015, the poverty rate for blacks was 24.1%, and that was down 2.5% from 2014. The poverty rate for children under 18 in 2015 was 19.7%, and that was down 5% from 2014. Children represented 23.1% of the total population. 19.4 million Americans live in extreme poverty. Now, I look at the plates where we pick over the food and leave most of it
on our plates. I did like a lot of us when the Golden Corral came to town. I went on purpose, and Ricky Jr. and Rashad and I, we got in the long line. And we stood out in line and just watched how patiently people stood in line for hours to get into the Golden Corral. And one of the most interesting things to me was watching people fill their plates up and yet walk out and leave a plate full of food on their tables. I wanted to show you pictures today of the people who are starving in America. But when I looked at the pictures were just too graphic to show, because we don't think that people are starving right here in America. And then I went beyond what's going on in America to look at the starvation, Emerson, in the world. And it's so graphic until you can't show that Linda Davis in the church. Harvest Day was like a time of Thanksgiving. And so Harvest Week ought to really be a time of Thanksgiving. Come here. What I'm trying to tell you is, God has been good to us. That's all I'm really trying to tell you is, God has been good to us. And so this is really a concentrated week whereby we come in to tell God, thank you together, because you've been good to us. As a matter of fact, verse 1 in the text says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Can I get a witness when I tell you he is good? I don't even have to talk about what God has done for you. All I really need to remind you is he is good. Because if I started trying to talk about what God has done for us to say he's good, I'd be here talking until Harvest Week is over. The verse says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he, God, is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Now, verse 2, as we get ready to get harvested real good this morning, verse 2 says, let the redeemed. Now, you really can't go into Harvest Week quiet. Y'all pick this text out, not me. You can't go into Harvest Week with your mouth closed. You can't go into Harvest Week with your arms folded and with your legs crossed. That ain't how you go into Harvest Week. Because verse 1 says, give thanks. And verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, I think what the writer is really saying is, as you go into Harvest Week, open up your mouth. This ain't for Harvest Week, is not for the sedity. No, Harvest Week is not for the sedity, because the text that you chose in the leadership meeting said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Come here right quick. I don't know what your enemy was. It could have been cancer, but God snatched you away from it. It could have been high blood pressure, but God redeemed you. It could have been low blood pressure. It could have been sugar diabetes. It could have been pneumonia. It could have been the flu. But the text says, when the Lord redeems you from the hand of the enemy, it could have been a heart attack. But when the Lord redeems you, and I need to know this morning, am I talking to somebody here that the Lord redeemed? Wait. I'm not talking about what your 401k did. I'm not talking about what your retirement check did. I'm not talking about what your inheritance does, but I wonder this morning, am I talking to somebody who can say, I've been redeemed? I've been snatched from the hand of sickness. I've been snatched from the hand of the enemy. I've been snatched from the hands of death. I've been redeemed. And so real quick in this text, he says, use your voice to express your redemption. Use your voice to let somebody know these things. I'm restored. I'm recovered. I'm reclaimed. I'm rescued. I'm emancipated. I'm delivered. I'm converted. I'm transformed. And finally, I'm bought with a price. And if anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. Don't try to figure out my name. Don't try to figure out my position. Just tell them I am redeemed. You cannot reap the harvest God promised until you acknowledge God. Here we go. Until you acknowledge God with your mouth. You got to say, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. In the law of harvest, the principles of sowing and reaping applies to every area of our life. Here we go right here. Whatever you sow in life, you're going to reap it. Isn't that good to know? A lot of folk take that from the negative, but I would also like to take it from the positive. Whatever you sow in life, you're going to reap it. Whatever you deposit in your life and into life, that's what's going to return to you. If you sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. It's the law of harvest. You plant apple seeds, you don't get pears. You get apples. If you sow with generosity, you're going to reap with generosity. If you want to reap the harvest God promised, then you got to sow the seed that God requires of you. And whenever you, look, come here. I'm going to go across the fence again. Whenever you have a need, let me ask you something. Is anybody here got a need? Look, I'm looking at y'all like you don't need nothing. I'm just looking at you. Don't need nothing. Let me ask that question one more time. Anybody here got a need? You need something. Well, come here. I thought I had more than two people who needed something. When there is a need, you got to plant a seed. You can't harvest without a seed. When a farmer looks at his barren field, he doesn't gripe about it. He goes out and he starts working the field. He tills the soil. He turns the soil. He fertilizes the soil, and then he plants the seed. And if he only has a little bit of seed, he has choices. He can hoard up the seed and say, this is my seed, and nobody gets my seed. If you don't plant your seed, you get no harvest. If you don't sow, you don't reap. He can sow it. If you only got a little bit to sow, then you sow a little bit, and then God blesses what you sow. Do you know that a little bit more is better than nothing? Somebody said, well, I can't sing, but a little bit sowing is better than nothing. Somebody say, I can't pray but a little bit. I can't talk but a little bit. I can't pray but a little bit. I can't visit the sick but a little bit. I can't encourage folk but a little bit. But do you know a little bit of sowing is better than no sowing at all? If you plant your seed, if you sow your seed, God, here's the blessing in it. If you plant what you got, then God will bless it. If you plant what you got, God will multiply it. If you plant what you got, God will increase it. Let me tell y'all something. They told me, and I told you, doctors told me, he said, your vocal cords got issues. I said, what's the issues, doctor? He says, well, you got scar tissue on your vocal cords. I said, what does that mean? He said, that means that what used to be there ain't there no more. I said, what does that mean? He said, you won't be able to preach, you won't be able to sing, you won't be able to talk. I said, what that mean? Let me tell you this. I left the doctor's office with tears in my eyes. That was 3 years ago. I was 49. That was 3 years ago. I left the doctor's office with tears in my eyes, and I called my mama. Mama said, the Lord brought you safe this far. I'm about to get happy now. Mama said, the Lord brought you safe this far, and the Lord will bring you on. Now, since then, it may not sound like y'all want it, but since then, I done recorded the CD and get ready to go back in the studio and record another CD. Now, let me tell you. Now, we did have to clean it up. We got to clean it up a little bit. But there's a long ways from can't sing, can't talk, can't preach. You got a little bit, show a little bit, and God will multiply the little bit. Who am I talking to that know if you sow a little in the name of Jesus, God will multiply? All right. Look, Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. Come here, this is good. I'm apologizing for this sermon not being written the way they teach you how to write them in school. But I just saw this verse. And you know, y'all cooks in here, you ladies that cook, and you look up in the cabinet and see some seasoning. You don't even know if it go in this soup. You just like that seasoning. And you just get that seasoning and just start dumping in your soup. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, this don't even go with potato soup, but you just dumping it in. This may not go in, but I looked at this verse and I said, I'm going to dump a little of this in here. Look, Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. I know we started out in Psalm. We're in Hosea now. He says, for they that sow in the wind shall reap the whirlwind. Let me tell you something. You can't just sow your seeds out in the wind. You just can't sow and not have your seeds on good ground and on good soil. You just can't sow a seed here and a seed there and expect a harvest. In other words, the farmer works. He decides on the ground. He decides on the space. Really, you just can't jump from one choir to the other choir. You can't jump from one church to the other church. You can't go from one ministry to the other ministry. You got to find some good ground. And when you find that ground might need a little tilling. Come on. It might need a little tilling. It might need a little turning. It might need a little toiling and a little throwing out and a little work. But you got to find the ground that you're going to sow your seed in. Because when you're sowing the wind, you reap the whirlwind. He says, if you want to reap the harvest God promised, you've got to sow the seed that God required. You don't just reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. God set it up this way because he wants us to become just like him. How many of you know that God loves me? God loves us. Look at the person closely and say, God loves you. God loves, I mean, put some juice in your voice. God loves you. Put some Baptist soul in your voice. God loves you. Put some anointing in your voice and look at that person and tell them, because really, you don't know what the person sitting beside you is going through. So just grab that. Come here, Brenda. Just grab their hand and look them in the face and say, God loves you. And then squeeze that hand. Some of y'all won't even move. Grab your neighbor and look your neighbor in. I say, grab your neighbor, look your neighbor in the face, and say, God loves you. Listen, listen. And he set it up that way. The greatest giver, look, the greatest giver of all is God. The greatest sower of all is God. He loves to give. He is the God of abundance. I mean, here we go. I'm going to James now. James chapter 1, verse 17. Come on, go with me. James chapter 1, verse 17. Somebody say, every good gift. Every good gift, every complete and every perfect gift, it is from God. Every good gift. I mean, somebody said, well, I don't have a good gift. You woke up this morning. Let me ask you something. Can I just talk this morning? Do you really have to get 50? I'm 52. I wake up in the morning when my eyes pop open. I don't care who don't like me. I don't care if the house is on fire. I don't care if the car is repossessed. I don't care if the house is in foreclosure when my eyes pop open. Who am I talking to that know what I'm talking about? When my eyes pop open, I tell God, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of life. Rob Small and I yesterday, I called Mike Ruffin about 2 o'clock. And boy, you talk about sounding rough. I didn't even know he was going to be at church today because he sounded so rough. But I called him because somebody called and said they needed prayer. And they told me what they needed. They said, well, listen, we're having a full hysterectomy. We're having this and we having this and we having this. I mean, just so much wrong with the body. But when we walked into that house about 4 o'clock yesterday evening, I've never seen a happier person. I've never seen a happier person with all of these ailments in her body, knowing that some of the surgeries that she's going through, and everybody right quick, because she's in surgery right now. Right quick. Every head bow, a moment of prayer. Somebody just say, Lord help, Lord heal, Lord touch, because we promised her that we would pray for her in this service. God touch, God heal, God deliver, God guide the doctor's hands. It's an 8-hour surgery, but Lord, you touch. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. Let me ask you something. Have you ever went to see somebody sick and the sick person encouraged you? Have you ever went to see somebody that's got to go to the knife and that person is telling you to hold on? That person is telling you to trust God. That person is telling you it's going to be all right. And listen, when I see folk like that can tell you to hold on, to hang in there, and I see people that ain't sick, that won't say amen, ain't sick, that won't wave your hand, if I couldn't say a word, I would wave my hand. Every good and every perfect gift, every good and every perfect gift comes from God. And it says it's coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights who does not change. And it says, like shifting shadows. It says your good gifts and your perfect gifts come from God who does not change like shifting shadows. The expression shifting shadows, literally meaning shadows of turning here, means a shadow caused by a cast, by an eclipse, or by changing constellations, changing patterns, or by a shadow in the night, by phases of the moon or alternate appearances of the sun that just changes with time, changes by the minute. And it says, God, who gives us perfect gifts, does not change like a shifting shadow. James is using the constant changing in the heavenly bodies to point to the unchangeable nature of God. Come here. Don't we change? I mean, we'll shake each other's hand and go out that door. And by the time we meet each other at this door, we won't even speak. But God, somebody say, but God. He just doesn't change. I'm so glad he does not have personality. Issues. He does not. He's the same God. But listen. If you want something to shout about, listen. He's the same God when I'm right. He's the same God when I'm wrong. He's the same God when I got money in my pocket. He's the same God when I'm broke. He's the same God when I'm up. He's the same God when I'm down. He's the same God. He's the same God when you got friends. He's the same God when you got enemies. He's the same God when you purchase a house. He's the same God in foreclosure. Same God. The moon changes. It's a fourth moon, a quarter moon, a full moon, a half moon. But he says God does not change like the shifting shadows. The earth is 92,955,807 miles from the sun. Earth orbits the sun in 365 days. Look, earth orbits the sun in 365 days, and yet God is just a prayer away. God is just a praise away. God is just a shout away. God is just a hallelujah away. God sends, the text says, he sends all good things. He sows all good things into our life. God sows all perfect things into our life. James just told us that God is unchanging. God is unmovable. God is unnerving. Even when you're right, when you're wrong, he's still God. God still loves you. God will never tempt you to do wrong. God will never tempt you to sin. You want to reap the harvest God promised? You've got to sow the seed that God requires of you. I'm going to go back to Hosea right quick, and I'm going to let you go. But Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It says, Christ, where are you going to sow? Where are you going to sow? Pastor, you say, sow to yourselves. How? In righteousness. He says in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Do you remember when mama used to whoop you and say, I'm doing this, this hurt me more than it hurt you? You got to do some stuff for yourself. You got to do this because it's for you. It's for your blessings. It's for your strength. It's for your walk. It's for your gratification in God. It's for your strength. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. But what do I reap when I sow to myself in righteousness? Do I get a new car? No. Do I get a new house? No. Do I get a new robe? No. What do I get? He says right here in verse 10, verse 12, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap mercy. 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 Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. God, y'all don't know what to shout about. Lord, have mercy. He says, break up the fallow ground in verse 12 because it's time to seek the Lord. Scatter some seeds in your righteousness, in righteousness for your own sake. Sow to yourself. How do you sow to yourself? Come here right quick and I'm going to let you go. Love them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully misuse you. Come closer, come closer. I'm talking to my young ones now. Honor your mother. That's how you sow to yourselves in righteousness. Honor your mother. It's out of style now to do what we were taught to do. It's out of style to say, yes, ma'am. I heard a mother say, don't say that to me. I ain't old enough to be a ma'am. You old enough to have a baby. You old enough to be a mother. You old enough for somebody to say, yes, ma'am, a baby's... That's just, I ain't going there because things have changed. But we were taught to say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. We were taught to say, thank you. We were taught if we wanted water and we asked somebody for it, say please. Do you understand? And so if you want to sow to yourself in righteousness, start by honoring your elders. Start by being nice to somebody. I mean, we're always looking for a minute. Can I go on and preach? I feel pretty good. Can I just preach? We sow to yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Lady told me this week, I was by her house, I said, so nice neighborhood, nice neighbors. She said, no, that one is crazy, she crazy, he crazy. Now, I think it's something wrong with the person that lives on the street and everybody crazy but you. come here. Am I the only one thinking? So I'm sitting in this lady's house and she telling me who all is crazy. I start looking at her hands to make sure she didn't have a weapon or something. Tell her, he crazy. I said, well, let me have my prayer and get on out of here. Because I know as soon as I go, you're going to say, that was my pastor. He crazy too. Come here. I got to go. So how do I sow to myself in righteousness? So that I can reap mercy. You got to serve the Lord with gladness. Come here. You got to serve the Lord with gladness. Sometimes I wish you could see what I see. I wish you could see what I see. You got to serve the Lord with gladness. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Yeah, you got to come. I came running when they said unto me. I came running when they said unto me. I mean, you got to serve the Lord with gladness. I mean, you got to serve the Lord with gladness. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I wish y'all could see what I see. This is what I see. Wait, give me a bulletin, please. I mean, I just be preaching my heart out. I done been up for a week. This may not sound like much to you, but I've been up a week ever since last Sunday working on this. And I look at people. And some of them are holding up half. I say one of these Sundays I'm going to stop preaching and I'm going to say, everybody get the bulletins out. Let's just read your bulletin. Now, when you get to read it, we'll put it down and we'll have church. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Now, I don't know if y'all clapping for me to sit down. Or clapping because you enjoy that. But I got one more river to cross. Look. So he said, sounds good. I want to deal with this little mercy piece right here. Somebody say mercy. Somebody say mercy. Can I tell y'all a secret? I was reading this and I cried every time I read it. Am I talking to some folk that God has been merciful to? Am I talking to some people that God has been merciful to? I cried every time I read this. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Some people believe that all God has promised is a car and a house and designer clothes and high places and status and big names. But listen, God promised mercy. I got three children, grown children. I got three growns. Not one time when I read this text, this is where I go. I don't know where you go, but not the one time have I been to the cemetery. Not one time have I been to the jailhouse. Not one time have I had to get one out of trouble. Have I had to get down to the courthouse? They don't borrow money. They don't call me for trouble. All of them in church right now. So when I read this, when it says he promised mercy, it ain't about where you live. Some of your blessings come through your children. And you got to be able to tell God, thank you for everything. And my baby is back there right now playing on his telephone. But he's in here. Mercy is the most, one of the most essential qualities from God. What we saw happen to Devin. What we saw happen a few Sundays ago. When Devin got sick. There were people saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And what we all didn't know is that before the service was over, I had received a text message saying, Devin is all right. Mercy. I gotta go because I could go all day. Listen, there's a difference between mercy and grace. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Can I whisper something to you? Some people laid down last night and they didn't wake up this morning. Listen, here it is. And they were better by nature than we are by practice. And yet God woke us up. God woke us up. I told y'all this before. I was in Columbus, Ohio, Dr. McMichael. I was preaching. And when I got to the airport, I met one of my high school classmates who was there for filming for the city. He had his props and his tripods and all of that. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing here in Columbus? He says, I'm a photographer. I'm a professional photographer. I was filming bridges and I was doing these filmings and all of this picture taking for the city. We went to high school together. He says, Ricky, what are you doing here? I said, I'm a preacher. And I was here in revival. He said, you, Tricky Ricky, is a preacher? That's what they called me in high school. I said, yeah, Tricky Ricky is a preacher. He said, you're not fit to preach. I said, you know what, Carl? I told God the same thing when he called me. And he still called me. I'm talking to some folk in here who living on the grace of God. And if it were not for the grace of God, we would be dead. If it weren't for the grace of God, it ain't just Tricky Ricky could have been dead. I'm talking to somebody in here this morning, could have been dead had it not been for the grace of God. He looked beyond our faults. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Look beyond our faults. Saw our needs. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And so, I'm done. Y'all stay where you are. Let me tell you this. I told you about Numbers chapter 26. I think it's verse 24. This one wore me out. That's why I put it in here. It says, the Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. Y'all ain't hear me now. Y'all ain't. The Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. Who am I talking to? Feel what I'm saying. The Lord bless thee. Monique, the Lord bless thee and the Lord keep you. I don't care how many funeral homes pop up in the city, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. I don't care how many enemies the devil try to set in your way, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. I don't care how sick you get in your body, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. I don't care in your life, I don't care what you lose, I don't care what you lose, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. He promised favor on this congregation. When you say I'm reaping the harvest God promised, you got to know what he promised. When he says the Lord bless you, he promised favor on this congregation. He promised favor on this worship. And when I watched the worship and I felt the worship and I heard the song and I heard the prayer, I said, that's God giving us what he promised. He promised favor on the prayers. He promised favor on the fellowship. Somebody say, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. He promised, keep you means he'll look in on you. Keep you means he'll look in on you and he'll watch over you and he'll preserve you and he'll sustain you. I'm talking to some folk, you lost your job and you're driving the same car. You lost your job and you're still shopping in Wegmans. You lost your job and you're still wearing nice clothes. And you lost your job and your refrigerator is still full. You lost your job and you're still able to put a tithe and an offering in. You lost your job, but you found out it wasn't your job sustaining you. It was God. Because he says, and the Lord keep you. I'm gone, but listen here. Verse 25, he says, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Ooh, that means he promised to make you glow. Who am I talking to? Even in the midst of death, you've been able to glow. Even in the midst of backsets, you've been able to glow. You still have your spiritual sparkle. You still have your smile. And then I'm gone. He says, and the Lord lift you up. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So I'm reaping the harvest that God promised. But he promised to give me peace. He promised to make his face shine on my face. He promised to give me peace and make his face shine. He promised to lift me up. Let me ask you something. And I'm done. I'm ready for communion. Won't he do it? Won't he take care of you? Won't he take care of you? I don't mean to impose on you, but I want you to look at somebody beside you. I want you to look now. There you go. Look at somebody and tell them these words. Be not deceived. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide. Look them in the face and tell them God will. God will. God will. God will. He'll take care of you. He'll do it, I tell you. He'll take care of you. If you know what I'm talking about, put those hands together and give the Lord some praise. Everybody standing all over the building, lift those hands high. Just give God a wave offering. Lift those hands high and give the Lord a wave offering. I'm reaping the harvest that God promised. He promised to smile on me. He promised to lift up my countenance with his countenance. He promised to give me joy. He promised to sustain us. He promised to keep us. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. The doors are open. The doors are open. The doors are open. The doors of the church are open. I didn't mean to hold you this long. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Your loving kindness.
The doors are open.
Toward me. Your tender mercy I see. Day after day.
Would that be another one come today? What a good day to come to be a part of this church. What a good day to be a part of the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. You can come by letter, candidate for baptism, Christian experience. And if you want to be saved, you want to be caught up in the blood of Jesus and covered with the blood of Jesus. And know that when you walk out of this door, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That he'll bless you going out and he'll bless you coming in. And you want to be connected to a church family. Everybody ought to be connected to a church family. Everybody needs somebody praying in your good times and in your bad times. Who am I talking to that will come and be a part of the Mount Olivet family? We invite you to come. Would you come? Just come down and give one of these men your hand and give God your heart. If you're here today, will you come?
Always provide.
This song is just for you. We're waiting on you. This song is your song.
Great is your mercy toward me. Great is your grace. Forever faithful toward me.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Once again, we have coming forward young Sydney Morrison, and she's 13 years old. And actually, she came forward a few weeks ago, but she came after service. So I wanted you to meet her face to face. Amen. And she's coming by Christian. She's coming by baptism, and she'll be connected to Family Care Team Jew. Amen.
Amen. Say praise the Lord, a little young lady that's coming to church. God bless you. Look at me. So glad that you're here. Pretty little young lady, too. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're happy. Okay. Amen. Y'all give her a hand, and we welcome her to the Mount Olivet Church. And she's glad to be here. And we're glad to have her. Amen. And our youth pastor and youth ministry will be glad to have her as well. Give her another hand. Amen.
we come at this time to why we're here today, and that's to recognize our Lord and our Savior, our God, for giving us his son Jesus, that we may partake in his body and his blood. And we dare not do it with unforgiven sin in our life, because he that eateth and drinketh damnation, with sin we eat and drink damnation to our own selves. And so we pause now to have prayer, to ask God's forgiveness.
Let us bow our hearts. Gracious Lord, we thank you. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, who gave himself for the sins of this world. And so, Father God, as we come before your table, Lord, we ask for forgiveness for anything that we may have done wrong, aware and unaware, Lord. We ask your blessings upon the wine and the bread, Lord, the elements, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for an opportunity to come before.